It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, fired up on a Thursday to bring you some top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. My, oh boy, oh man.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
We are on a stampede of stupidity for the next 3 hours. You are all welcome to join me. Normally, like, I open by mentioning, like, one headline we're going to get into in the first hour, maybe a guest we're going to talk about. We got so much going on today and so much stupid happening all at the same time that I just genuinely couldn't pick one.
What the hell is the world coming
to? I'm like, I don't know. Do we see this weird thing about the economy where the only people getting jobs now are migrant laborers coming across the border illegally?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Yeah, it's a pretty dumb story. But then I was like, we got this thing with the squatters where if they break into your house, they now live there, and you have no rights. You can't throw them out.
That's not right.
I mean, man. Then we've got the 2024 general election, the whole Jill Biden being in denial on CBS thing. Jill Biden was asked why her husband's losing in every swing state poll, and she said that's not the case.
You can't handle the truth.
But if you can, you are welcome to be a part of the show. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, does not matter. Your job is not to agree with me. Okay, we only have one rule.
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
I'm not some clickbait provocateur. You know, I'm a good old-fashioned talk show host. We can agree. We can disagree. It doesn't matter. It's a talk show.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. We're just going to have a conversation. 888-788-9910 if you want a piece of the action. And you do know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. Just don't be a... Happy Thursday, everybody. Big day coming up on the show today. Kevin Walling, Democratic strategist, worked on the Biden campaign.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
Stop it. I love Walling. He just got married. He's a true love guy. He's one of those true love people.
You must be crazy. When are you going to stop believing in something that isn't true?
And no one knows that better than the second guest who will be on the show today, Jenny Failla. Jenny Failla stopping by to preview this weekend's appearance on Fox News Saturday night, because we have booked her on the show yet again.
Are you stupid or something?
Stop it. I told you. They gave me a TV show. I wanted to do this since I was 5, so I just kind of drive it like I stole it. Just the way we do this show. This does not sound like conventional radio to you. I have no formal broadcast training. All of my mass media training involves me rolling down the window in my taxi and yelling down the block at somebody who cut me off in the middle, like, hey, you, you know, you come by here again, I'll, you know, that's it. It's all the broadcast training I have. You know who else doesn't have very good media training, though, for real? And I do mean this. Jill Biden.
Tell him like it is.
Okay, Jill Biden's on CBS yesterday, and the backdrop of all of this going on is so fascinating. If you watched Waters World last night, I was on with Jesse Waters, and the story before mine was he was doing a segment about the CPAP marks on Biden's face. Now, the CPAP marks, you know, if you have, like, sleep apnea, if you get oxygen, they put a mask over your nose, your mouth, and they, you know, the straps go around your face. Well, when Biden went out to his meeting with Bernie Sanders yesterday and appeared in front of the media.
I don't remember that ever happening.
It happened. We have video and everything. But when he went out for the video, okay, with Bernie, he still had the strap marks around his face, okay? They were completely impressed upon his cheek. Like, he wasn't wearing the mask, but if the strap marks are that embedded in your cheeks, it means you had them on moments ago.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
Which means one of two things. Either he slept till 11:30 in the morning. You know, they always tell us behind the scenes. This is behind the scenes. This Biden, nonstop. The staffers can't even keep up with the guy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
But that's what they always tell us. No, you don't understand. I know he has these moments where he shakes hands with invisible people. Gets lost at the end of a speech. Sometimes quits talking in the middle of a sentence because he's finished.
You know, the rapidly rising
But the point is, okay, despite the fact that you see that from Biden constantly, the White House staff has told us, oh no, the Biden behind the scenes. It's regular Energizer Bunny.
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
Well, he might have been listening to a white noise machine to sleep until 11:30 yesterday morning because the CPAP straps are still on his face. Or they could have been using that mask to give him drugs prior to his public engagement.
Oh, wow.
Either way, you slice it just so we're all on the same page. You've either got a president who sleeps until 11:30, even though they're telling us he's the hardest working politician we've ever seen, which, of course, is propaganda. Or you got a guy that they're doping up before they wheel him out to the public, which is my real guess. Because, again, I've been in Biden's presence twice for the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'll get to see him again this year. That's exciting. But I can tell you they did something to him at the last State of the Union. I mean, he was jacked up on something. They're lucky they didn't kill that man. He was just a totally different human being. Loud and screaming and talking fast and assertive. It was nuts. Okay, so maybe, and I'm not the doctor. I don't have the proof of any of this. I'm just telling you, it would appear to me that he was hopped up on something at the State of the Union. So maybe, just maybe before the Bernie thing, they gave him a little of grandpa's cough syrup to trot him back out there in front of the public. I don't have an answer. What I can tell you factually is Biden is losing in 6 of the 7 battleground states. Even a Wall Street Journal poll now showing that as well. Trump leading in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Okay, but despite this knowledge being readily available, not only to her, but to anybody watching CBS yesterday morning, Jill Biden continued to insist her husband is winning. This is clip one.
People know the choice this election. They can choose chaos or they can choose, you know, steady wisdom experience. So
it's not a part of you that's a little worried because you seem to be off kilter a little bit.
I feel that Joe will be reelected.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground
all but
states.
One.
He's coming up and he's even or doing better.
You are so full of
No, he's not coming up. No, he's not. You shut up right now. But you understand that's not confronting the issue head on. He's losing. It doesn't mean he's going to lose. Doesn't mean the election's over. Okay, it just means he is losing. And it's such a bad look to continue to pistol whip people into agreeing with you. The reason this president is the least popular re-incumbent to ever seek re-election is because he has shown absolutely positively no interest in the American citizen. Okay, what Biden tells you are deliverables. The reason we should reelect him is we've spent all this money on climate change, you guys.
You cannot be serious!
Because nobody cares. Oh, nobody cares. Climate change is not a top 10 issue in the 2024 election. He's like, yeah, fine. All right, so maybe not the climate change. But we have spent $200 billion protecting the border of Ukraine.
You cannot be serious.
Everybody's like, wait, what? What do you mean, Ukraine? Anything odd for America?
The answer would be no.
No, the answer would be no. It doesn't care. Okay, we're forcing electric cars on you, even though the sticker price on average is $25,000 more, and you don't want to buy them. And don't get me wrong, people are buying them, but electric cars comprised 6% of new vehicle purchases last year. And that's coming with massive subsidies from the government that don't exist for regular gas-powered vehicles. And now you hear manufacturers like Ford saying they're going to freeze all electric vehicles or at least slow down the production schedule. You hear even renters like Hertz, who bet big on Teslas and got their ass handed to them and are now trying to divest from some of those commitments. Even Tesla, for the first time since 2020, saw a 10% decrease. They have not seen a decrease in new car sales at Tesla. Okay, for the first time since 2020, they have seen a decrease of 10%.
That can't be good.
Doesn't mean people don't want them. Doesn't mean people shouldn't be allowed to get them. It just means everything Biden wants to do to this country is non-consensual. They are forcing it on the American people, whether it's done through mandate, whether it's done through some type of a tax incentive or abatement or anything in between. Think about climate change. How did they get you climate change? Needed a big cosigner, a huge cosigner on that loan, which I understand was what? Everybody's worried about the inflation we caused with all this runaway spending. Well, I've got news for you. We're going to spend even more. This time around, it'll all be on the climate.
That is financial lunacy.
Okay, but they didn't admit that in the title of the bill. The title of the bill was what? The Inflation Reduction Act.
What a fraud.
You see what they did there? They're like, well, they like inflation, so we'll call it inflation and duck, you know, dig. That's what they do. Like a year from now, when they want to spend on their next free giveaway, it'll be like some free college for everybody. It'll be like the Boobies and Beer Act. This is the, and we'll all vote. We'll be like,
hubba, hubba.
I'll vote. I'll be out there stumping. Hey, you got to pass the Boobies and Beer Act. What are you, come on, what are you talking about?
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
But you understand none of these acts do what the American people are hoping they will do. The Boobies and Beer Act, yeah, you'll get boobies. But they're going to belong to Dylan Mulvaney.
No!
But this whole, you know, defiant, shut up. The polls don't know. You don't know. You'll take what we give you and like it. Okay, there's this arrogance to the Democrats that either makes them really bad politicians, or people who know something about how we're going to vote in this next election that you and me don't. Okay. Did you hear the Hillary Clinton clip on The Tonight Show the other night? Shout out to Jimmy Fallon. Every comic in New York City genuinely likes Jimmy Fallon, and I like him a little more because he's been very supportive of me since I got my Saturday Night TV show. Behind the scenes. He's not like shouting me out on TV, but behind the scenes, he has made a couple of nice gestures that I appreciated greatly. So shout out to Jimmy Fallon. But he has Hillary Clinton on his show on Monday night.
What an idiot.
You stop it. Who dare you? Blaspheme the great Jimmy Fallon. But here she is telling anybody upset about a Trump-Biden rematch to get over yourself. Here it is, clip two.
It's Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? And,
oh,
yeah.
Jimmy.
And, you know, it's kind of like one is old and effective and compassionate, yeah, has a heart, and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
okay, interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice.
Jimmy Fallon's a nice guy, a sweet guy. I wish him no ill will. But part of the reason he plays along with that, if you remember, is he was pistol whipped into behaving. Fallon, who's on NBC, was a stablemate of Donald Trump's. Donald Trump hosted The Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice on NBC for 15 years. He hosted Saturday Night Live a few times. He was on Fallon's show. And when Fallon did a cordial, fun interview with Trump and asked if he could muss his hair up at the end and messed up his hair, everybody on the left was like, he just normalized that man. How dare we should cancel Jimmy Fallon.
That's just how white folks will do you.
That's how they did him. With no regard for the fact that everybody's screaming at Fallon was a member of the same network that employed Donald Trump for the last 15 years and was perfectly fine with him working there. Donald Trump hosted Saturday Night Live that same year. If he hadn't been normalized in his first 16 years at NBC, I don't know that one interview with Jimmy Fallon got him over the top. But the point is, Jimmy's been paying protection money in a lot of ways for that ever since. wants the mob on his side, doesn't want to be in trouble, and they've tried to make his show go more political. Now, a lot of that pressure came from outside sources over at Colbert. Colbert was getting killed in the ratings by Fallon. Colbert tried to turn late night into a political shout fest, okay? And that's very much what he does every night. He's an activist masquerading as a comedian. And because the terrain of the late night race has changed the way it has, okay, Colbert now leads because the people who are watching liberal late night, you know, prefer the guys that are more politically agitating. They like the Kimmels. They like the Colberts. The one thing they don't like to laugh, apparently, do is laugh. That's the one thing they don't like is laughing.
Bingo.
Because those shows are terrible. Okay, Fallon, to his credit, is funny. Gutfeld does a heavily political show during the week. He's the only one that's really hitting the other side. So now we've got like a la carte late night. Well, you got Gutfeld, he'll hit both sides. But that's very niche. He makes fun of Republicans constantly. Makes fun of Fox people, makes fun of himself. Oh, and you have to when you're 4'7". But the point is, got to have some self-awareness there. It's no different than me coming after the sport coats and my overweight figure skater collection. We got to own a mirror if you want to truly be funny. But the point is, when you hear, you know, Fallon kind of co-signing Hillary's ridiculousness of shut up, get over yourselves. Yo, this is a democracy. We don't have to get over anything. Okay, we got two choices we don't like. We are absolutely positively entitled to something better. Okay, which is why there is an appetite for a third party candidate. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to go that way. Republicans are going to vote Republican. Democrats are going to vote Democrat. Okay, but at the end of the day, the fact that Hillary just says shut up and take it is why she was never a president in the first place, because she's absolutely terrible at reading the needs of voters.
He knows what he's talking about.
The show that sees through the bull.
My response is right, you know, and the stripper really likes you.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. They bumped in on Get Lucky by Pharrell Williams. You guys probably heard this song. It's been around forever. Every time I hear it, I laugh because on one of the unluckiest nights of my gambling career, I was in Vegas. My cousin Tommy, who is coming, by the way. If you guys want to meet my cousin Tommy, some of you met him at the Idaho Falls Show at the Colonial Theater. Well, July 5th at the Green Valley Ranch out in Henderson, Nevada. Okay, cousin Tommy, he's bringing his wife. They're coming to the gig. They're going to be hanging out. Jenny and Lincoln are going to be, it's going to be nuts. Okay, but the last time I was in Vegas with my cousin Tommy, we were walking down the Vegas Strip. I was staying at the New York, at that hour where the night hands off to the day. And it really does look like the Strip is completely populated with extras in the Michael Jackson Thriller video.
this could be a problem.
But you know what I'm talking about? Like the manholes open up and everybody's got ripped clothes and there's real beat up looking hookers and guys are still hitting on them.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
But I just never forget in the overhead outdoor speakers, one of the casinos, as we crossed that big bridge between the MGM and the New York, New York, was pounding Get Lucky by Pharrell Williams. And luck was not a lady that night, is all I'm trying to say. Luck was very much a gentleman in a blonde wig who had powdered his Adam's apple and pulled a very cruel surprise on myself and my cousin at the blackjack table, as it does. Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon doing the dang thing. 888-788-9910. You've probably heard me opine on this show in the past about my son Lincoln and our affinity for Stephen A. Smith. We enjoy Stephen A. Smith because oftentimes Stephen A. Smith is on like ESPN First Take or on Instagram. It's very performative. He's very emotional, screaming and yelling, you know. And me and Lincoln, we enjoy the theatrics of Stephen A. Smith. And I don't mean that in a negative way. We will walk around the house impersonating Stephen A. Smith. That's kind of how we talk to each other at times in our home. And it's one of the funniest pleasures that we know, because from time to time, I will run into Stephen A. Smith when we're on Hannity. And I'll take a picture with him and send it over to Lincoln, and he just dies laughing. And Stephen A. Smith, to his credit, is a great green room hang. Funny guy to talk to, likes to talk sports, likes to talk anything. He's very opinionated. And my favorite thing about him is he does not possess a filter, meaning he's not coming on a show to go, well, what would the host like me to say? He doesn't care. And I make that point because he was on CNN and he was asked about Hillary Clinton's dismissal of voters' concerns surrounding the 2024 election. And his response, not the response CNN was looking for.
CNN is the worst.
Maybe so, but this is clip four.
I don't think it was a very wise statement on her part. How did that work out for her in 2016? I think that's something that we have to recognize. Yes, she won the popular vote, but at the end of the day, she wasn't the president of the United States.
Oh!
It was him. You can look at her not campaigning in Wisconsin in the last days, not campaigning in Pennsylvania in the last days. You can look at some of the stuff that they were saying about her that sort of distracted things from where it should have been in terms of Comey and his report from the FBI. You can bring up a whole bunch of things, but at the end of the day, the last thing you need to do is to do anything that could agitate a potential voter in this particular election.
I admire your honesty.
I love the you could hear the CNN anchor trying to push, but wait a minute, you know, that whole.
Oh, shut up, woman.
Listen, anyone who thinks you're a campaign surrogate and your job is to inspire voters to get out there and pull a lever on election day or drop a ballot into a ballot box, you know, or drop seven ballots into a ballot box with no signature on them. Okay, because you're a Democrat. You need the living. You need the dead. This is an all hands on deck operation if you're trying to win this election for Joe Biden. So in any event, if your job is to go on TV and make people vote for Biden, okay, I promise you Stephen A. Smith is right to say that Hillary telling people to shut up and get over themselves is a really bad strategy.
Correcto mundo.
Shut up. Get over yourself. Let me play it for you again. This is insanity. Clip two.
It's Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? And, you know, it's kind of like, one is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Okay.
I mean,
okay, interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice.
Oh, ooh.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
I mean, ooh. That's a rough one, man. And when you break it down, getting past the dismissive attitude, get over yourself. Okay, do you understand? 70% of Democrats don't want Biden to run again. And you're telling Democrats, the only people on earth who are possibly going to vote for this man, get over yourself. I mean, come on.
You don't have a clue.
Do you know how stupid? And she's stupid. It doesn't mean she can't, like, do an interview and recite the name of every ambassador or diplomat she's worked with or tell you the name of terror groups and embassy locations. Like, I'm not telling you she isn't, like, functionally literate when it comes to memorizing facts and figures. But when it comes to relating to actual human beings, okay, she is horrific.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Again, your job is to make people want to vote. That's why you're on TV. What do you say to people who like the church? Get over yourself. Oh, okay. That's one way to win American Idol. You finish a song, you're hoping to get voted through to the next round, and Simon Cowell goes,
that was absolutely dreadful.
I promise you, you don't make the next round by going, get over yourself. No, ma'am. They're like,
get her out. Get her out of here.
And away you go. Okay, although I don't know that Simon Cowell is going to throw Hillary off the show because that might not be good for his life longevity.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Anyway, we're just being silly now. But where we're at in the Democratic sales pitch to voters, we are 7 full months from Election Day. One half of the attack is get over yourself. And it's also this fraudulent claim that you heard from Obama. Hillary echoed those sentiments. One of these guys is old and effective, is what she says about Biden.
Wrong.
What is effective? That the border's overrun, that inflation hit a 40-year high, that the cost of goods is 26% higher than it was when he got into office? Or is it the fact that gas went up another 40 cents in the last month because we just decimated our domestic energy production here in this country? Like, what is the effective part you can point towards? Because I can't name one off the top of my head, and I don't think you can either.
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, and the point is, Hillary Clinton is completely full of Trump's been charged with 91 felonies. Okay, they charged him. Do you understand? It's like a cop stopping you when you're following the speed limit. Your seatbelt's on. You've used your signal when you change lanes. You've got an exhaust pipe. It's not making too much. There is literally nothing to pull you over for. Valid registration. Your license plate's fine. But the cop stops you and goes, do you know why I stopped you? And you go, gee, officer, no. At which point he breaks your taillight with his nightstick and goes, broken taillight. Okay, that's when you know in that moment, this prosecution, not on the level.
Bingo.
Okay, understand the Democrats who do media every day to remind you that Trump's been indicted are the people behind the indictments. Okay, every one of these indictments comes from a Democrat elected prosecutor who ran on indicting Trump, many of whom met at the White House with Joe Biden, some of whom were sleeping with their staffers on the corporate dime as they were in the Fannie Willis office when they were supposed to be prosecuting Trump, but instead were doing the old horizontal hula in neighborhood hotel rooms.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
So when you hear her go, oh, 91 felonies. None of these are legitimate. Nobody looks at them. And it's like, oh, well, we got a problem here. Guys, we had never indicted a president once in the 247-year history of the country. We've now indicted him 91 times. Don't you think on some level that denigrates the integrity of the process? That they can't put their finger on this one thing the whole country should be focused on? Do you get it? If you watch sports, something you'll hear them say at the collegiate level once in a while, whenever you see a team that's like a ranked team, but they have two quarterbacks that both split downs, you know, they'll say, well, you got two quarterbacks, it means you don't have one. Meaning you just don't have one guy that you count on to carry this team that everybody confidently believes is their guy. That's the charges against Trump. There's not one charge that every Democrat, everyone in the media focuses on. It's a big scattershot. They flood the zone. Jenny's grandpa, the late great Richard Kraft. Oh, I used to love to bust his balls, man. When I was a cab driver, he was retired. When I was a cab driver, whenever I would drop somebody off in Newark Airport, because the ride from Newark Airport back to the city is like 35, 40 minutes, depending on the hour of the day. I would just call him because I knew he was home and he's retired and I would just smack talk the Reds. He's a big Red fan. Give him a hard time about things he'd never done. I used to just genuinely call him and agitate him for sport, and he'd enjoy it. We'd have a good time. We'd talk smack to each other. And one of the great joys of my adult life is knowing Jenny's grandpa. He's a great guy, and I used to really, really give him a hard time. But one of the things in jest, of course, and one of the things he had once told me about owning dogs, he's like, you know, one dog is a dog. Two dogs is half a dog. Three dogs is no dog at all. And what that analogy essentially meant to somebody on a farm, if you owned dogs, if you had one dog, it was around the house. You had a dog. But if you had two dogs, you know, odds are one of them would always be chasing something. So you wouldn't have dogs around as much. So you got half a dog. He's like, if you got three dogs, just by percentage, they're always going to be on the scent of something. Somebody's going to be woofing at something. The other two guys are going to be like, oh, we're woofing? Oh, I didn't know we were woofing. All right, woofing. Oh, well. And they're gone, and now you got no dog at all. And that was the analogy. And those are the Trump indictments. If you got one indictment, you got an indictment. You got a case. You know, you got two different cases. You got a half. You got three. You got no indictment at all. Now try doing that with 91 indictments. Is the public focused on any one of these cases? That's why the Democrats are in such a rough spot. Number one, they overdid it because this was all garbage, politically motivated persecution. But number two, you can hear it in their messaging. Hey, Biden cares about the little guy. Biden skipped the little guy's funeral last week. 31-year-old cop Jonathan Diller gets shot by a violent thug who shouldn't be out ever again. Guy's got 9 violent felonies on his record, 24 prior arrests.
He should be behind bars.
Should never see the light of day. But that guy's out, kills a cop with a 1-year-old baby. Okay, on the very day that funeral's taking place, Trump flies up to New York, goes and meets with the cop and his family. Well, the cop's family, sadly, not the cop. Biden, 20 miles away, doing a $100,000 a plate fundraiser. And they want you to believe with a straight face, Biden's the guy who cares about the little guy.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I mean, it should hurt you to say that, knowing how much he does not care about the little guy. But this is the problem when you're 7 months out and you just got a garbage human being as a candidate. Just garbage, man. Okay. They're already out of material. Like, you think about Joe Scarborough. I'll give you a clip. Joe Scarborough, who, if you know, I play his clips on the show. One day Trump's Hitler, the next day's Mussolini, you know, and the whole hook of the show. A block, B block. This is every Joe Scarborough episode. I've told you this. We program TV in blocks. A block, B block, C block, D block, just like that. A block on every episode Joe Scarborough who has ever done is Trump is either Hitler or Gaddafi, or maybe today he's Saddam Hussein. I don't know. But the point is, every show is going to open with Trump is the actual living, breathing devil. B block is Biden's going to live, you guys. And anyone who tells you not is a living Hitler, orange Cheeto, Jesus, orange man, bad, the white supremacist, homophobes. Okay. The C block is, okay, we got some new polling in that says 80% of the country thinks we're going in the wrong direction. But at least you're not a part of that country where the white supremacist dirtbags live. That is the show. But knowing you've got to fill 7 months till election day, and it's a long show on Scarborough. Like, they have a hard time filling show, okay? They're bringing on, you know, 10, 12 guests on a show, okay? I do radio for 3 hours. I do it alone if I could. They make me put on 2 guests. And I like talking to them. But I'm just saying in general, I'll talk all day. I love doing it. Love talking to you. Okay, they don't love talking to you. They don't love doing it. They're political activists. They just want to win elections, but they're already out of material. Here is Scarborough, okay, trying to find a new angle, new way to peel the onion today. Says, it's sad that RFK Jr., is, you know, he's essentially just working to get Trump reelected because Trump wants to reverse what Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy Jr. have worked so hard for.
This guy's a serious ass.
Trump is trying to repeal what Martin Luther King Jr. actually accomplished.
That is a fact check false.
But that's what he's down to. 7 months till election day. Oh, God, this hurts to listen to. Because he doesn't mean this. He doesn't mean this. Listen to this, clip 5.
It's not a coincidence that some of Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s biggest contributors are Donald Trump's biggest contributors. So here we are all these years later, and just this twisted path has led us to where somebody named Kennedy is putting himself in a position to elect Donald Trump president, a guy whose life now is dedicated to reversing the work of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, I
that was embarrassing.
I mean, oh, God. His life's work now is dedicated to reversing the work of Martin Luther King and Bobby K. Have you ever, anyone, I will give you $1 million. Now, to be very clear, I don't have $1 million, but I will get you at the risk of having to steal it. I will get you $1 million if you can show me one clip, if you can even splice the clip together of Donald Trump saying, my goal is to reverse the work of Martin Luther King Jr. or Bobby Kennedy Jr. Okay? You can't do it, but you have my word. If you can find me that video. Okay, honestly, Trump needs money right now because of his legal fees. He'll probably just say it on a video and send it to me. Hey, pay up, fatso. But the point is, you can't find that video. That is a man straight up just, for the people watching at home that need the confirmation bias that they know better than you, the self-righteousness that comes with saying they're better human beings than you, you can feed them anything. They're not interested in fact, okay? They're interested in placating emotion. But do you understand the preposterous, like, you shouldn't be allowed on the air to say that. But to take it a step further, okay, the Democrats are actively reversing Martin Luther King Jr.'s teachings. Do you know I want to live in a world, I want my kids to grow up in a world where we judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin? Okay, the Democrats have reversed that completely. It's now forget the content of your character. That just means you have white privilege if you're white. If you're black, you're a victim. You're, you know, any other minority, you're a victim. The Democrats now want you to live in a world where every single decision you make is predicated on your racial background, the complete antithesis of the civil rights movement. Now, factually, that shouldn't surprise you because the Southern Dixiecrats were the ones who opposed the civil rights movement before some of the Northern Democrats pulled them across the finish line with the help of the Republican Party. But you understand, to get on the air, knowing you're 7 months from Election Day and we're already down to saying Trump's life's work is dedicated to doing something nobody listening has ever heard the man say or vow to do.
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
You have no idea how desperate Joe Scarborough is, not just to fill time, not just to win an election, but to get through a day without strangling himself when he looks in the mirror.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
You're listening to the best dad on the radio.
Can't believe you forgot my birthday.
You're with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, former Obama strategist David Axelrod. This was a funny one. He was on CNN. Says the judge in Trump's classified document case is in the tank for him. It's every night, you know, when they're like, Trump shouldn't be criticizing the judge. He's undermining faith in the legal system. How dare he do that? Here they are doing that. Clip 14.
Well, I think it helps him a lot. There's a big body of evidence in polling that a conviction in any of these cases, but in these federal cases in particular, would be harmful to him. And his goal has been clearly throughout to try and delay all of these trials beyond the election. So it feels like this judge who he appointed is in the tank, and she's done what he wanted, which is to help delay this trial beyond where it could be tried before this election.
And these are the same people who want to stack the Supreme Court because it's not legitimate, but then they tell you we're undermining faith in the justice system.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, there it is. We're back in action. Got a big hour coming up of Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. Show that welcomes everybody, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. Nobody cares on this show. We're doing a good old-fashioned talk show, not a conservative talk show, an American talk show.
Freedom!
I am, of course, a conservative, unapologetically so. But, you know, We're not here trying to silence dissenting voices. This country was not built on agreement. It was built on tactful disagreement.
That's true. That is true.
So you want to call up and disagree? I don't know about what. Probably my wardrobe choices. That's usually a good starting point if you want people to take your side. But 888-788-9910 if you want a piece of the action in this hour. Now, I got a lot to get to. Most of it surrounding the economy because Kevin Walling is coming by, Democratic strategist, and I like Walling quite a bit. He is also on my weekend show this weekend, Fox News Saturday night, 10 o'clock. You'll see Walling on the panel with Jenny Fala, Corinne Fisher. If you guys watched the show, you've seen Corinne two or three times. Charles Payne is on, and NFL Hall of Famer Michael Strahan is on. It's going to be pretty rad. And Walling, on the Saturday night show, will, you know, be there to joke about life and have a good time. We're not really going to put his feet to the fire politically because it's a comedy show. We don't care. Okay, but on this show, where we are processing hard news in a very lighthearted fashion, I always like to say we're putting your vitamins in your applesauce. You don't even taste them going down. Okay, we do get into substantive stuff. And one of the substantive things we get into today is the economy, because there's a couple of things that jump right off the page. First of all, do you remember when Gavin Newsom this week put the bill into law requiring all chain restaurants to raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour? That's what they did in California. And as predicted, companies are raising prices and laying off employees. I said this on America's Newsroom Monday morning. I was the first guest of the week. Believe me, I'm not an economics major. But if you raise the minimum wage to $20, okay, the business doesn't go, all right, I guess we'll just make less money now. No, ma'am. They've got to find a way to pay that $20. So they lay off some employees and they jack up the prices. That's what they do. Unless, okay, there's two exceptions. One is if they donated heavily to Gavin Newsom's campaign. Panera Bread is the only chain in California that has an exemption to this rule. They're not paying the $20 an hour minimum wage because it was written into the law that if the restaurant manufactures bread exclusively or bread is their leading product, then they don't have to do it. Do you know how many other restaurants there are in California that fall under the classification? Zero. This is the only exemption of its kind afforded to Panera Bread, which is a donor to the Newsom campaign, and that's why people are outraged. But just when you thought they couldn't get madder, here's something you probably found out in the last 24 hours if you've been following this story. Newsom, who himself, okay, is an investor in restaurants, okay, is not paying the same minimum wage that he is forced on other restaurants.
That's just how white folks will do you.
So you understand, he passes a law that doesn't affect him. It's like lockdowns. Remember when Newsom locked everything down and he was like, we're going to shut down the schools. It's not safe. And then got caught on camera taking his kids to school because they went to private school. Or he's like, you can't go out to eat. It's not safe. Not good. No, not good. And then he was caught at the French Laundry. Or, you know, defund the police. Cops are bad. Yo, they cut $500 million off the municipal police budget in Los Angeles. He's the governor out there. Okay, they cut $500 million. In the state, they cut close to $1 billion of the police budget because Newsom was one of the guys telling you the cops were a bigger threat than the criminals. But what did Gavin Newsom have the entire time he was waging a war on police? He had police protection. Do you understand? You hear the phrase a lot in cable news, you know, the whole rules for thee but not for me. But it's said a lot because it happens a lot. This guy just passed a law that really does crush mom and pop businesses. Because number one, they cannot compete with that $20 an hour minimum wage, which makes life a little bit harder. But number two, if you are someone who's poor, you are more likely to eat at these restaurants that have just raised the cost of goods. Ergo, you are going to be spending more money because of a law that's supposed to be making you more profitable.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
But that's who these idiots are. Okay, it's where you know, liberalism is often where compassion and common sense collide. Compassion, you want to do this nice thing. Give everybody $20 an hour. And that, listen, I want to help you. If you've been broke, I've been broke, man. Real broke. Ooh. Oh. But anyway. Okay, a lot of these pie-in-the-sky things that sound nice collide with common sense because you need a way to execute them. You've heard me say this in the past. If you went home and told the kids we were going to Disney World every weekend for the rest of the year, they'd be very excited. Oh, kids, Disney every week! Okay, but then they found out that Dad was going to have to turn tricks behind Space Mountain to pay the cost. Okay, that's where we are now. We're turning tricks behind Space Mountain when it comes to the restaurant industry. And it's screwing the little guy. You know where else the little guy's getting screwed? By the open border policies in this country. So according to Fed Chair Jerome Powell, immigration, significantly more people working in the country, is helping the economy grow. Okay, now economists are forecasting a recession as I sit here and read this to you. But here is the official data since 2020. Foreign-born workforce. Let's give you that in English. The foreign-born workforce, since Biden got into office, has grown by 3.9 million people. Foreign-born workforce. 3.9 million workers. The American workforce has shrunk by 615,000 workers.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
You think about that. The open border prices out the American worker because it makes labor cheaper. Problem number one. Okay, and then you've got all the offsets of illegal immigration, drugs and crime and everything in between. And again, I don't have an issue with anyone who wants to come here and make a better life for themselves or their family. And I have to issue that caveat every time we have this discussion because Democrats have gone out of their way to portray anybody who wants a secure border as some type of a racist or a bigot. No, ma'am. This is a country built on diversity. It actually is built on diversity in the sense that immigration is what built the country. But the immigration that built this country, it was legal. Okay, we're having a harder time getting the type of good immigration that built this country legally because we've just let 10 million people cut the line. So the people who want to do the right thing are now being forced to wait an extra 3 years or 5 years, which ultimately incentivizes people doing the wrong thing, which is cutting the line. Okay, I'm not telling you everybody breaking into our country right now is a bad guy, but they are breaking our law by entering the way they are. Well, we got to hold that against them to some extent, number one. Number two, you've also got to realize that we are being told by our own intelligence apparatus, by the FBI itself, that they fear a terror attack is imminent in this country because of how many people have come unchecked across the southern border. You don't have to be Republican to know that's bad. You don't have to be politically active to know that's bad. So that's what you're dealing with in this moment. Here is Andrew Gruhl. And I bring up Andrew Gruhl. He's a celebrity chef. You might have seen him on Gutfeld. I've worked with him before. He's a great guy, very funny. I can't really look at his dinner pictures. He posts pictures of the meals he makes as a chef, as a celebrity chef. He's posting pictures all the time. I had to block him from my feed because I can't stare at all this food while I'm dieting for TV.
You're killing yourself the way you eat. You're a fat f***. Look at you.
Really? So this guy doesn't help. Okay, but here is Andrew Gruhl explaining how this screws the little guy, this minimum wage increase, clip 12.
Robots co-packing those $60,000 kiosks, right? So they're laying workers off. So now all these workers are going to be losing their jobs. We saw Pizza Hut laid off hundreds of workers. And now you've got these small businesses who they're not required by law to pay the $20 an hour. But when more than, you know, 40 or 45% of all the restaurants in California are part of this fast food coalition that's targeted by this bill, well, everybody has to increase their floor in terms of paying that number. So they're almost by proxy through this bill mandating everybody to pay this $20 an hour. And the small businesses, they don't have the disposable income or the capital to automate, right? So they're either going to have to increase their prices or close.
So think about that. When he raises a $20 minimum wage, just so we're clear, there's not a single solitary piece of data that says this creates more jobs. It will cost people their jobs. In the name of this, again, what you think is compassionate. Hey, we'll pay him more money. But certain businesses run a certain way. Okay? And pay them more money, as nice as it sounds, eliminates profit margins. And if you eliminate profit margins, there's no reason to be in business. You know, so the problem you're running into is big corporations, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, everything in between. Okay, when you hit them with a massive minimum wage increase like this, they can afford to bring in the pricey technology that will eliminate workers. All right, so now we got robots at the drive-thru. Now you're, you know, you're ordering off an automated kiosk. Okay, when you, instead of going to see a cashier and see a fresh-faced teenage kid or some, you know, middle-aged mother or two working a side job, looks like she wants to strangle somebody, but still manages to be friendly to you because that's what being a professional is. Okay, instead of seeing these people at your cash register or your drive-thru, you know, the perky drive-thru operator you like talking to, probably stoned, but a good time. Fast food, it's the best. I love everything about it. Love the culture, love the workers, love everything about it. But the point is, that's going away in the name of automated technology because of wage increases that are supposed to help the worker, but ultimately cost the worker his job or his hours. So what Andrew Gruhl is telling you is this ultimately screws the little guy. Why? Because the little mom and pop can't necessarily afford to go buy five kiosks and replace their work staff. So they've either got to raise prices to placate that wage increase, or they've got to just close the business. Do you understand how everything the Democrats do in the name of helping the poor is ultimately a sellout to the rich? Because their end game is not mom and pop businesses flourishing across the country. Their end game is massive corporations running every sector of the world, because those massive corporations donate to the Democratic Party the most. And that's what they want. What do you think COVID lockdowns were? COVID lockdowns presided over the biggest generational shift of wealth we've ever seen in this country, because mom and pop businesses who didn't have a huge online presence and massive shipping infrastructure just didn't get to do business for 6 months or 9 months. So all of their foot traffic went over to the Amazons, to the Targets, to the Walmarts. And then with a straight face, the Democrats were like, we got to help the little guy. We're here for the little guy. Little guy's drowning. Okay, well, maybe take your boot off his head. Because that's what the Democrats were doing. And then when you find out they're passing these laws, and now there is actually nobody passing them and following, as is the case with Gavin Newsom, you realize it's like it's a scummy thing to do, man. I don't like to say it, but it's scummy. Okay, Foster's Freeze, Lemoore, California. This is what happened to them because of the minimum wage increase. Listen to this ABC 30 report of what the Foster's Freeze workers experienced the first day this law went into effect. Clip 11.
Some of the people who worked at this Foster's Freeze thought it was an April Fool's Day joke until they saw the close sign for themselves and reality sunk in.
I was like, okay, April Fool's, be for real. Not April Fool's. I realized that she was not joking. I drove straight over here and got my last check.
Monica Navarro got a phone call from her general manager informing her the location would not open for business again. All day, would-be customers drove in, then away, as they learned what the employees learned Monday morning. Navarro says the owner told her he just couldn't afford to pay the new minimum wage.
Think about that. Law goes into effect, the law that's supposed to help the workers. All right, big day. We got this new law. It's going to help the workers.
You
got
to do better than that.
Because the workers don't have jobs anymore. And I bring this up, why? Because we have a lot of people at the federal level that, one, they want to federalize this. They want a federal minimum wage increase. That's something Biden's made a central part of what he's doing. We want a federal $20 minimum wage. And to young, empathetic people, they're not necessarily bad people. That sounds great. Yeah, pay everybody more. Wouldn't that be great? Free college sounds great. Free health care. Free babysitting. Free Willie. Whatever. Okay, the point is it all sounds great, but none of it's free, as a lot of you know and learn the hard way in your life. And that's the cost of a $20 minimum wage. Yes, your burger's going to be more. Yes, your workforce is going to be less. Okay, but in the end, the people that are forcing this stuff on you think they're helping, and they're killing everything that they lay their hands on.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
A show so good, people don't know what to think.
This feels weird. Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
So the actual carve-out in California's minimum wage law exempts chains that primarily make and produce bread. And this was after a billionaire mega donor handed over a wad of cash to Gavin Newsom.
This is politics as usual.
That's Bloomberg News reporting. And I'm only focused on this because as we come back from break, I'm reading a story that Mod Pizza, are you guys familiar with the popular West Coast chain Mod Pizza? Mod Pizza closed five California locations as the $20 an hour minimum wage law took effect this week. Five entire locations. And the jobs that would work every shift at that location, every single one of those jobs, because of this dopey law. Dopey law, man. And Panera Bread, again, they are exempt. They are exempt from the law. So imagine that. Okay. And Newsom told reporters it's part of the sausage making in politics. You know, it looks a little weird behind the scenes, but trust me. You know, this makes sense when you look. It's just
you are so full of shit.
But here was Newsom, okay, telling you in September when this law was passed what a big deal it was. Clip 10.
557,000 people at 30,000 locations. This is a big deal. $20 an hour. 80% of the workforce. There's a lot of mythology about fast food. You know, Johnny used to learn the value of hard work. You know, he'd work a few hours in his first job. That's not the case, folks. That's a romanticized version of a world that doesn't exist. 80% of the workforce in these fast food places, 80% are people of color. Two-thirds are women. The majority are breadwinners. And we have the opportunity to reward that contribution, reward that sacrifice, and stabilize an industry in turn.
Oh, man.
What an idiot.
And I'll tell you why. Okay, fast food, and we want people making money. But the reason fast food is profitable is because it's cheap. It's popular because it's cheap. People wouldn't have a line around McDonald's right now if it was $44.99 for a burger. But that's where this is headed in the long run. If you take the reason something's popular and change it completely, I promise you it affects the bottom line. Okay, if you run a strip club full of gorgeous women and it's packed every Friday and Saturday, I promise you the turnout might be different if all of the women had a penis the next time the guys got into the champagne room.
What the hell did you just say?
The truth. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. They are playing Word Up by Cameo. And our next guest just showed his age because he knows the song.
Word Up.
I could see you kind of
grooving. I was nodding. This is a great intro.
Yes,
song.
It is. Kevin Wallach's back on the show.
How about it?
Newly married man, my
dude,
man.
Month and a half in. Still going strong.
I will save a lot of those questions for Saturday night because you're going to be on Fox News Saturday night.
I can't wait.
With Jenny Failla.
I mean, this is big. This is a big deal.
And you guys have never met.
We've never met. She's in my dreams constantly.
That makes one of us. That makes one of us. Bang!
I can't wait to meet her on Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
You're going to love it. And she's actually on the tail end of the show today, so you'll only miss her by an hour. But it's good because you know you can't see the bride before the wedding.
That's true.
You shouldn't be hanging out
with
her.
Keep that veil.
You should not be hanging out with her. But it's good to see you. And it's nice to have you back in New York. What were you on the Outnumbered couch?
Did Outnumbered. Just did Coast to Coast on Fox Business. Checking all the boxes.
Mr.
But this is my favorite.
Mr. Cavuto is great. Yeah, of course, this is your favorite because this show is like, it's not a show. We're just hanging out.
I know.
It's like our parents went away and they don't know we're having a party. Like my parents went away, they don't know I'm having a radio show. That's how the show works. That's the whole point of the show. And I appreciate that you get it, which is why you're so great on the TV show. So the thing I was talking about, your friend Gavin Newsom raised the minimum wage laws out in California.
That's right. Yep.
We're going to get into this on Saturday night from a completely different angle, which is we're going to be talking about our first, you know, fast food jobs and entry level jobs and stuff like that and have fun with it. But on a substantive level, what I always say when it comes to this sort of thing is it's where compassion and maybe common sense collide, because compassion says, yeah, pay everybody everything. But that common sense argument on the economic side is that, you know, prices might go up or jobs might go down. So I was just coming back from break. And the reason I'm forcing this on you is Mod Pizza just closed five locations in California. I don't want to be responsible for a world, Walling, where there's less pizza. You don't have blood on your hands. You have sauce on your hands.
Exactly.
You have sauce on your hands.
Like the people at PETA that just throw that red paint. Now it's the tomato sauce.
They're throwing tomato paint.
Yeah, geez. Listen, I think, you know, there's always a ton of unintended consequences with this, right? And I think, you know, Democrats are always trying to, you know, increase, you know, a living wage so people can get by. Part of the issue is, you know, you have so many Americans now that are staying in those jobs. You know, used to be, you know, and we'll talk about it on Saturday, you do it for a year, two, three in college. Some of these folks are now making, you know, a career out of it for whatever reason. And it's not sustainable, especially in a state like California, you know, where the cost of living is so high. The tragedy of this, though, and you just pointed it out, is, you know, when you do this, a lot of people lose their jobs because of it, because, you know, you've got these business owners that are trying to make ends meet and they got to cut back hours. They got to cut back staff. They can't improve the physical plant. So it's got to be an equilibrium, I think, with all this.
Yeah, the challenge, we're talking to the great Kevin Walling, Democratic strategist, fan favorite here on the Fox platform. The challenge for me is, like, knowing the law of averages, okay? It is sad to know a lot of these people at these five, say, California locations are going to lose their jobs. But you and I both know in the world we're living in, one of them is about to become some type of an internet foot salesman or something like that and make like $3 million
a month. There's a whole industry out there.
But is it so crazy? And I'm not pinning this on any party, because some of this is just attributable to the internet and the way it's creating entirely new industries. But is it not so crazy now? We're living in a world where there are so many prevalent occupations that didn't exist when we were little kids.
It's this whole influencer community. I mean, they're making bank out there.
Most of the...
It's extraordinary.
When I was a little kid, if there was a hot lady, you wanted to see her feet, you know what you had to do? You had to get a ladder. You had to scale the side of a building.
We got to check the statute of limitations on some of those laws out there.
You shut your
Jimmy
mouth.
Hopping over those hedges.
That's not true. But when I was a little kid, this might have been the difference for you and me. When I was a little kid, though, I'll never forget this. We were playing like cops and robbers, riding bicycles, my buddy Dave Mania's house.
Yep.
The tenant who lived upstairs above my neighbor's house just randomly was getting changed. And I was probably five and I caught it. You know, like Spider-Man got bit by a radioactive spider and became Spider-Man.
You were hooked.
I got bit by a radioactive perverted moment at the age of five. And I was like, wow.
Now cops and robbers, they just let all the robbers go.
Yeah, there it is. They all get out. If you play liberal Monopoly, nobody goes to jail. You don't have to pass go. Nobody goes to jail in liberal Monopoly.
You don't even have to pay $200 either.
It's seemingly crazy. What is the sale right now? What do you think the sale is? You know, Biden in the general, you're well-versed in all things Biden. What do you think, like, this week, what is the plan? What is the focus on? Like, I know what Trump's focused on. He's, you know, he's talking immigration and not using much of a filter.
Totally. Yep.
So what is Biden doing?
You think? So, I mean, the guy, you know, since the State of the Union, March 8th or so, he's traveled to each of these battleground states.
He hasn't given that, because one thing he's taking away from analysts is, though, it's a basement.
It's a basement Rose Garden campaign. No, he's out everywhere.
He's out. No, whatever.
He's everywhere.
God love whoever's mixing that cocktail and it's working and he looks energetic.
Yeah, he's looking good. I mean, he's on the road. And the key thing he's doing, I mean, the good thing for him is he's got this massive cash advantage.
Yes, he does.
Right? A lot of low-dollar donors, $10 million raised after the State of the Union. And what that does is, you know, and I just talked to Neil about this, it's going to be a turnout election. It's not going to be a persuasion election. You know, everybody knows Donald Trump and everybody knows Joe Biden, right? Yeah. You're not going to convince anyone really of anything.
People know who they like in this battle.
Exactly, right? And we saw, you know, 100-year-old turnout, the best in 2020, as a reaction – likely to Donald Trump, right? Yeah. Either you love him or you hate him.
COVID,
and that
Trump,
motivated you to go out and vote, right? Mm-hmm. So when it's a turnout election, you got to, you know, the early money that Joe Biden has raised, you know, he's opened 100 of these field offices already 7 months out, right? So it's rides to the polls, it's calling, it's volunteers early on, especially in these communities where we're at a little bit of a deficit, right? We've got an issue with blacks and Latinos and some of this polling and young people. So going in these communities now, 7 months out, and not just 2 weeks out from the election, I think makes a big difference. And that's what he's focusing on these last you know, month and a half.
No, I would agree. And, you know, the whole, they always say you got to go to where the voters are.
Exactly.
So you guys, did you plan on entering the cemeteries after hours?
Just in Chicago, man. We don't do that anymore.
Oh, Kevin Walling, I love it. I've been really enjoying the RFK saga just the same.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. Charles McBee, one of your fleeing black voters, who's not a Republican, does not.
He's great. I love.
Isn't he fun, McBee?
Yeah, he and I used to. I think we were on your show together.
Yeah, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You guys did a great job. And McBee's a great guy, great comic. We bill him, rightfully so, because of his own joke. He's the only black guy we know who listens to Coldplay.
There you
I
go.
Don't doubt there are
it
more out there. But he's the only one. Yeah, but he's the only one we know. You know, I don't doubt there's probably millions of them, but I don't know them personally. So
under
I
the radar.
Give them that. But yes, McBee was joking about RFK last week. He said he sounds like Biden looks. And I thought that was funny. I just thought it was funny. You don't need to dignify it with any analysis. But the RFK thing essentially comes down to ballot access.
It really does.
And I hear this argument that, like, you know, he's no business running. He's going to throw this to Trump. Or some Republicans will say he's no business running. He's going to run it to throw it to Biden. In my opinion, they all have every business to run. I think you'd agree with that. But if you don't actually have ballot access, then you really are running to be a spoiler and
exactly
should admit
right.
that, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, that's the real issue. I mean, this is why it's so difficult as a third party to run.
Mm-hmm.
And even longer established parties, you've got the Green Party, Libertarians, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They often don't have access in all 50 states.
Right now, if he went Libertarian, he'd have it. And
yeah.
But he won't because the Libertarians, it's so funny, they need a 110% litmus test. Kennedy was talking about this on
yeah.
the show.
Yeah.
So they're going to wind up with a retired professor no one's ever heard of who has massive social issues, doesn't like speaking in
lives
public.
Lives in a shack, no yeah. devices, you know.
He actually lives in the Swiss Family Robinson tree.
They are. That's a purity test right there, for sure. But to your point, I mean, this is the real issue with RFK, and this is one of the reasons why he brought that woman, who now we haven't even seen or heard from,
yeah.
just because of her money, for
yeah.
the most part, right?
Big dough.
To fund all these efforts to get on the ballot.
One of the reasons, though, also, if you're RFK Jr., you put the woman who was formerly married to the head of Google on your ticket. Is to probably get your search history clean for the stretch run.
Get your search history clean. Get your plane rides with Jeffrey Epstein cleaned out.
Oh, no!
I mean, that interview.
Whoa. Are Democrats against that sort of thing
that
now?
Interview...
Hold on. What is even happening? I'm kidding.
That interview that he gave, were, like, unprompted, he brought up, remember, Bill Cosby, Jeffrey Epstein, others. I'm like, what are you doing, buddy?
Listen, he's throwing the fastball.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people do like a politician who leaves flaw first.
Yeah.
But the flaws need to have limitations.
He's all over the place.
He's you know what's funny about the world we're living in, too, is, you know, Trump was like, he's a radical left-wing extremist.
I mean, he loved him when he was in that Democratic primary. He was propping him up.
But then just the same, the Democrats are like, it's Trump in a wig. I'm like, no, Trump is Trump in a wig.
Yes.
I mean, no, I'm kidding. But the point is, like, there's no good way to do this and not be, you know, destroyed by both sides.
Yeah.
So here's the last thing I wanted to ask
because
you.
Because to your point, he pulls from both.
He
right?
does.
He's a danger to both.
He does. And what I'm fascinated by is because, as you said, people's opinions of their, you know, of each candidate are so baked into the cake at this point. I am fascinated by people that would, that being said, vote for RFK because they have to know they're throwing the – or at least risking throwing their vote away. Are
yeah.
they not? So what do you think it is? Is it because they want to send a message?
Yeah. You're seeing this play out on both sides of the
yeah.
aisle, right? So you're seeing this effort with the war in Gaza, mm-hmm. With the Israelis and that protest vote with the President Biden. You saw, you know, Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis won like 30% of the Wisconsin mm-hmm. primary. And they're both out of the race just this past week.
If no labels could get ballot access and I was her, I would run. I absolutely would run. You know,
yeah.
I'm not saying she can. You know, if you had the ballot access, because you run the risk. It's like she stayed in a race against Trump with physically no chance of winning. None. Like
yeah.
if Trump had gone to jail, like shackled and thrown in a cell, they would have hated her even more because
mm-hmm.
they would have saw her as the beneficiary of that. So it's fascinating to me that she hung in a race she had no chance of winning. Because if she was in the general, to be clear, today she has no chance of winning. But we're 7 months from Election Day. There's going to be some type of a fatigue
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you might get a spectacular confluence of events where a third party could win this with like 31% of the vote.
7 months is an eternity.
Eternity.
In politics, right? And again, this is, to your point, this is the longest general election campaign we've ever had with it starting so early.
Yeah, because the incumbent, and now you've got
and the de facto incumbent too. Yeah, exactly.
Clinching so early. So here's the next thing then. Let's get into surrogates since we've got 7 months to go and you are one of them.
Are you talking about my future child or me being supportive of Joe Biden?
We'll save that for the show.
We'll see how I do with Jenny on Saturday.
Ooh. Listen, play your cards right. She is a Walling fan, and she is known
to
listen.
She's got some great genes.
She's known
to
listen.
Thank God Lincoln takes after her.
You stop it. The strategy I wanted to throw at you. Okay,
yeah.
So Hillary's on. I'm buying you time here because you have to answer Clinton questions carefully.
I got to go. That's all we have. That's all
good
the
to
time
see you. We'll
we
see
have.
You Saturday night. Kevin, well, where did the time go?
Chappaqua.
But good for you. So Hillary tells Jimmy Fallon. And now Jimmy Fallon I like quite a bit. And he has been quietly supportive of me behind the scenes in ways I appreciate greatly. Jimmy Fallon had Hillary on the other night, and, you know, he just said, you know, some people don't want this election. What do you say to them? And she said, get over yourself. If your job is to get people to the polls, the dominatrix angle, I don't think it works. Like, I think it worked on a show.
Yeah.
But I think there's a better way to do that. But but her approach, I think, is reflective on how she fared as a candidate in a roundabout way. There's almost like this indifference to what people are telling you. So I don't need you to pick a fight with the Clintons, but I'm just asking you.
I
know, but duh.
God.
Neither would I. I mean, we're having this struck from the record by the
time
this is over.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, not even the death. I just want to be able
to Fox security.
I don't need her coming after me or him getting me barred from Hooters. That's the last thing I need. But stick with me here. As a surrogate yourself, as somebody that'll go out and make the case over the course of the election, what is the actual approach? Like, when you're going on the air, what are you trying? Essentially, I guess you're trying to lead with what you think the voter will respond to, meaning is it has affected them in the most positive way. Is that the gig?
Yeah. I mean, the first rule of all this is to do no harm, right?
Okay.
Right off the bat, right? You don't want to say anything that'll be tacked back to the administration or the campaign that harms them. But number two, it's also, you know, I spent a lot of time on Fox Dispatch kind of by the campaign in 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come across, I've got a blue tie on right now and a comb over and, you know.
Do you ever?
Not, you know, not too over the top in terms of my politics. And I'm a moderate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is why we have so much in common and agreement, right? Mm-hmm. There's good people on both sides. I voted for Republicans in the past, voted for
Democrats. You sound like Trump
Democrats
at Charlottesville. I'm kidding. Stop it. Stop it. I'm giving
Get
you a hard
that
time.
Tiki torch out of here. But again, to your point, it's matching the message to the universe that you're talking to. When I'm on Fox, you know, I bash Donald Trump a little bit, but oftentimes it's like, you know, he's promoting this policy and that's going to hurt you how, right? It's not coming over the top and saying he's terrible to all this kind of stuff because Fox folks will tune me out. That's why, you know, on Twitter, everyone calls me the quote unquote nice Democrat on Fox. Because again, it's, you know, and this is why I love this show and our conversations, because it's always a reminder that we've got more in common than divides us.
But we're like, you know what it is? That back to this whole interview, starting with you and me, both without even looking at each other, we were nodding our heads to Word Up by Cameo.
That's right.
Where we are just actually from a better era.
Yeah.
I know everybody thinks they grew up in a better time, but if you grew up pre-smartphone, you actually unequivocally grew up in a better time.
No devices, you know, all that kind of stuff, where we actually had to play cops and robbers in person and not on some video game.
Think about that. And the bigger thing, and I say this to people all the time, is the issues we fight about in the modern era are the issues we fought about 40 years ago. It's just the way we're fighting about them has changed because
it's
of social media.
Absolutely.
If somebody just nuked social media, do you know how much happier the world would be?
Yes.
I'll be the
Well, again, and you see it in those ratings, the happiness ratings on the world stage. And the saddest thing, you know, it's like Lincoln's generation coming up, super affected with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I really, you know, my heart breaks for this generation coming up that is spending so much time on their screens, not actually talking to people. And they're so lonely. They're so miserable.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
But they and you know what though? That's like a business model now. Because if those kids are lonely and miserable, they get medicated. They get fat. They get
medicated. And they get served TikTok ads and videos that are harmful to them too.
Yep, nonstop, Kevin Waller.
Yeah.
Wow, we have really gone you know, old men telling kids to get off the
get
lawn.
Off the, yeah.
But you know what? We're in luck because kids don't go on the lawn anymore. We're yelling at air now.
Just get over those bushes and look at that neighbor changing. That's the thing.
It has come full circle. I will see you Saturday night, young
Can't
man.
Can't wait. It's going to be a great show.
Oh, the great Kevin Walling, ladies and gentlemen.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
The critics have spoken.
You do that again and I'll break every bone in your body.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Just got a text from Davey, WIBX up in Utica. It is WrestleMania this weekend. You know how fired up Davey is?
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
Come on, he's clotheslining people in the parking lot right now. At Babes. He's in the parking lot at Babes. They're going to have to arrest him. Nancy, she's in Tyler, Texas. Nancy!
Hey, boo.
Hey, girl. How you doing?
I'm actually doing better this week.
All right, good.
Last week, allergies were crazy.
Is that what you're calling a meth problem, allergies?
Well, you know. Anyway, your show. Okay, my son already says, he goes, Mommy, it's Jimmy time. And I'm like, thank you, son. You can go play. Mama needs some Jimmy time.
Oh, that's hot. I love that. Well, Jimmy time is going to go to commercial in 40 seconds. So take it away, sister.
No. Well, dang it. We can talk about the economy. I was going to talk about Diamond Days now.
Oh!
I thought his voice sounded hot on the radio, and I was like, oh, I get to see what he looks like. He got on your show, and I went, oh.
Oh, no! Diamond Dave! She was off, Nancy. I'll be sure to pass along the compliment. I'm going to lose you to a commercial.
Oh, but, I know you will, baby.
You're the best. I'll see you soon. Diamond Dave was excited for a night of hot loving.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go, here we go. Big hour coming up of Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. Going to be joined by one of my radio buddies, Jenny Failla. We're married 20 years. The only time I talk to her is when we're in a radio studio or a TV studio because I work a lot and I travel a lot. But Jenny's a good egg, and she stops by to preview her big appearance on Fox News Saturday night. She's also going to get into some major issues facing us as parents and American citizens. We've got an epidemic of squatters right now in my state of New York. It's happening in all the liberal states. Somebody breaks into your house, and you're not allowed to make them leave?
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
We're dealing with this right now in New York. That's a thing. Guy breaks into your house. He lives there. He has rights. You call the cops. You got to go to court. You got to sue to get back into your own house.
Get out of here and take your mother with you.
Never been a dumber time to be alive. So we'll get into that, you know, talk general election chicanery, and I'll probably give you some insights as to what Jenny's planning to do on Saturday night. But 888-788-11. Hold on a second. Did you hear that happen? We all knew it was coming. I wasn't going to get the word.
Have you ever had a checkup?
You give out the phone number so many times a day, at some point the words don't come out of your mouth the right way. I just did this.
Do you speak any English?
Anyway, 888-788-9910. If you'd like to speak to this very intellectually flawed radio host, one thing I do have going for me is... I guess you'd call it a horse sense. And what I mean by that is someone who drove a cab a long time and, you know, I paid and didn't pay my rent from gambling in my 20s. That's completely true. there was the late great comic Mike DiStefano. He had a great joke. He's like, yeah, my dad was rich. So growing up, my dad was a gambler. He goes, growing up, we were rich five times. It's pretty funny. And he tells the joke about how he's like, yeah, my buddy went to AA and every month he stays sober. They give him a poker chip. So now he has a gambling problem. I just always liked the late, great Mike DiStefano. Very funny guy. But I was a big gambler in my 20s when people always ask, you know, how do you become a cab driver? Well, you have to knock up your wife without health insurance and owe a bookie $30,000. I know that was the recipe for me, but let's move forward with the conversation, shall we? In my time of dodging bookies and traffic and homicidal taxi passengers, I have developed just a smidge of horse sense. And all horse sense really means is you're kind of listening to the universe. And the universe is telling you, you might want to make a move. You know, if you ever found yourself in a situation where you just don't have a good feeling, maybe it's a business deal, maybe it's somebody you're talking to, and you're like, you know what, I got to go. Okay, for the most part, you know, we all have a bit of that. It's one of the, I believe, the 8-second rule of Buddhism, that all things will continue as they begin. Meaning if you meet somebody in the first 8 seconds of meeting them, you have a gut reaction to their energy that's probably going to be your opinion of that person 35 years from now. Even if it changed for a half hour, in the end, you're going to keep talking to them and be like, oh, yeah, this is why I did not like you in the first place.
Bingo, man, bingo.
Okay, and, you know, that is horse sense. You run into something, you encounter something, you go, yeah, it's probably not the right time to be doing this. I bring that up because there is some startling new data out here from Hire a Helper. Hire a Helper. Not the kind of site I was going to in my 20s. I was wont to hire things. And don't get me wrong, they did help.
I love it when you talk dirty.
You don't know I'm talking dirty, but the point is, stick with me. New study finds that millennials who did move in 2023 typically relocated to red states like Texas and Montana. Montana, where I just was. I was at the Helena Civic Center. Gorgeous place. Went to Shelley's. Had a big bite to eat. It was great. I loved it. It was great. But the point is, they're going to places like Montana. They're going to places like Texas because their horse sense agrees with it. Yeah, you relocate because you landed a job, or in some cases you relocate because of a relationship or somebody in your family moved, something like that. I get it. But the reason they're flocking to these states, two states I spend a great deal of time in, okay? KTBB listeners have probably met me 5 times by now. And a lot of them are going to come see me in Dallas at the Majestic Theater Friday night, June the 7th. Ahem! You better be there, East Texas. I will never take a selfie with you and Bucky's again when you're buying that chocolate-covered grenade launcher in aisle 2 right next to the lounge chair made out of beef jerky. We know how Bucky's rolls. Just the best store. But you have a horse sense in Texas. You have a horse sense in Montana. You know, you have a good vibe in most places that you go. And you feel like you can be yourself, you feel at ease, and that's what ultimately makes people want to live in certain places. That's a thing. Like a lot of New Yorkers move down to Florida. They like the warm weather. You know, they get away. You know, they do. It's called snowbirding. They leave New York in the winter when it's cold and rainy and miserable, and they go down to Florida. And then when Florida gets a little humid, some of them come back to New York, okay? Or there's, you know, people who retire to Florida who just do it year-round by putting plastic on the couch and cranking up the AC, and away we go. And why not? It's fun. You're happy. You're where you want to be. But the point is, we have things about these places that agree with us. And horse sense is always one of them, probably a prevailing sentiment. But now there's other data to support why their horse sense finds these places so appealing. A lot of people are moving to these other states because these other states have a better quality of life. Lower taxes, maybe not even a state income tax in a place like Florida, but even as it pertains to Texas and Montana, okay? You have a space, you have rights, okay? And you are experiencing net positive migration. You know who else is experiencing net positive migration? Oklahoma, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Arizona, okay? Places that are predominantly in that list I just read you conservative, it's not to say entirely. But the point is, okay, people are moving to more conservative states because more conservative states means you have less government in your life.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
And we know this why, because when you look at this actual data, okay, deep blue locations, I mean, so liberal they wanted to defund the cop and the village people. New York, California, Massachusetts, Illinois saw the highest negative migration rates. 52% in New York, 39% in California, 28% Massachusetts, 25% more millennials in Illinois leaving than moving in. Think about that. In New York, there are 52% more millennials leaving than moving in. leaving, young people leaving than moving in, which is not sustainable for the economy because you've got to staff businesses. It's not sustainable for any of the entitlement programs that you need a tax base to fund. Okay, the businesses are already fleeing. And what does it ultimately tell you is that in these pie-in-the-sky woke utopias,
everything woke turns to
because young people can't afford to build a life there. And that sustainability factor is what drives turnout in every single state. And when you look at interest rates right now, do you know how hard it is to buy a house right now? Do you realize if I was buying a house right now, as opposed to the house we live in, we bought 5 years ago. 5 years ago, when I started at Fox full-time, I was a writer for Kennedy. I also had a second full-time writing job and was doing stand-up full-time. So I was no longer a cab driver. Jenny was teaching full-time. I was writing a TV show. I was also the head writer for 200 morning shows around the country who were paying me money to give them jokes they could use on the air as their own. That's a thing. That's what I was doing. And I would have to get up out of bed every day at 5 in the morning, which is good if you're a cabbie. That's 2 hours later than I used to wake up. I'd get up at 5 in the morning and write 50 jokes about the news in an hour and hand them, fire them out to these stations, and they could go on the air and sound funny for the day. And it's not to say they weren't funny anyway, but, you know, sometimes you need a broken person to help you through the moments when you yourself haven't had a time to prepare for the show. And that's all you're doing is you're augmenting the joke supply for already talented people. And believe me, morning show people are talented, very talented. Just the ability to get out of bed is a talent in that regard. Knowing how much most of them drink, they're actually super talented. Seriously, tip a cap to your local morning guy the next time you run into him, because these are people. They've got a level that you and I can only dream of having when it comes to self-application. So shout out to the morning folk. But the point is, I was writing a radio prep service. I was writing a TV show. I was doing stand-up comedy at night. I was appearing on TV. I was guest hosting on the radio. With all of those things in play, if the modern interest rate was also in play, I would not own a home right now. Okay, and I was doing pretty well because working all those jobs. But understand, the young guy now who's a working professional, even if it's a two-income house, looks at the interest rates, looks at the cost of living in places like New York and California and Massachusetts and Illinois, and they go, no, their horse sense tells them to get the hell out of there. Okay, like, wow, it's, you know, it's going to take so much longer to get where we want to be. Cost of housing in parts of Texas cheaper. Cost of housing in parts of Montana is cheaper. Okay, as far as metropolitan levels go, the only place that is experiencing, okay, major incoming are Tampa, Florida. Okay, that topped the actual list. Okay, and Vegas, to its credit, gets positive millennial net migration in Austin, Texas. Okay, now that those two, okay, Austin, Texas is super duper liberal, but you call it millennial net migration, but they're literally living in tents. So I don't know if that we count. If you're listening to us on KLBJ in Austin, I know some of you are. It's a high honor to be on your airwaves. We love it down there. Jenny and I have gotten pretty rowdy down at Lake Travis on more than one occasion. So if you're listening, you know, pretty familiar with what you're going through. I like those HEB grocery stores down there. They're a good time as well. But the point is, most young people are fleeing places like New York, L.A., Detroit, Frisco, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Miami. Okay, then come in. And what do all of those states have in common? They're run by liberals.
Correctamundo.
Okay. Economic reasons and lifestyle changes top the list of reasons why people choose to move on. And what is that ultimately talking about? Okay, they want better housing. That was 16%. They're changing jobs, 13%. They want to establish a household, 11%. They want to own or rent a home or find a cheaper house, both 9%. So you understand housing, okay, is about 40% of this. When you talk about wanting newer, better housing, 16%. Wanting to establish a household, 11%. So now you're 27%. Now you're talking about wanting to find a cheaper place to live, another 10%. You're about 40% right there. Okay, just on housing alone. Because where we live in New York, you can't fathom this. Or maybe you've heard this before, but you've never wrapped your brain around it. In New York City right now, okay, the apartment I moved out of when Lincoln was born, I was born in November of 2008. We moved out that December, moved back to Long Island. The apartment I moved out of at the time was a one-bedroom apartment on 102nd and Broadway. It cost $3,500 a month.
What the hell did you just say?
It wasn't nice. It wasn't roomy. The living room is big. The bedroom is big by New York standards. Lincoln's technical what would be a baby bedroom, you would not use as a coat storage room in your suburban home if you're listening around the country. You wouldn't, there's no physical chance. If you owned three jackets, you couldn't fit them in there. Okay, the kitchen, same thing. And that was $3,500 a month back in December of 2008. That same apartment right now, okay, and understand, it was too much money back then, and $3,500 a month. That apartment right now is listing for $6,200 a month. $6,200 a month to live in that one-bedroom apartment.
That is financial lunacy.
But now imagine, you're a working professional. Okay, you hope to get married and start a family. Okay, how are you going to bank money if your rent alone, not your food, not the cost of your commute, not the cost of karate lessons so you can take the subway and fight off the zombies? Just your rent alone is over $80,000 a year for a one-bedroom apartment. How are you raising a kid? You're not. That's the answer. How are you saving money to buy a house? You're not. That's the answer. So, you know, Frank Sinatra once sang, you know, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. Okay, but we've gotten to this place where that might be true, but a lot of people are saying to themselves, but why bother? What do I get out of living a Frank Sinatra lyric? Guy's been dead for 25, 30 years. He's the chairman of the board. With all due respect, we love him. Okay, but the summer wind has come blowing in and taken every millennial out of town with it because you can't live this way. And that's ultimately horse sense that gets you to make the move. Okay, it was expensive when you moved in. Okay, it wasn't cheap when you moved into New York. Crime wasn't low when you moved into New York. Groceries weren't more affordable. You know, New York's just always been expensive. It's a spiritual dominatrix. It beats you down. Okay, but what people are starting to realize is that doesn't change. You might get a promotion here and there, but you understand the cost, the physical and emotional toll of being here is so high that people who could otherwise pull it off are leaving anyway because they have a horse sense. Okay, and the reason their horse sense is so prevalent in them in this moment is because of the policies being passed in liberal cities. Okay, think about the squatting thing I mentioned. If you live in New York, someone breaks into your apartment, you come home from work and someone's in your apartment, they now live there. Have you ever heard of anything like that in your life where you have to go to court and sue somebody to leave what you're paying for? Okay, that's what we're dealing with in this moment. You know, so when you hear that people are fleeing liberal states, it's because, yeah, they have more empathy for illegal migrants. They have more empathy for criminals than they do for their victims. Okay, kids are getting sent home from school because they run out of storage at the illegal migrant facility. Violent criminals don't go to jail anymore because of woke bail reforms. Okay, you might even have the money to pull it off. You might even enjoy your job. But at some point, you look around at this world and you see just how much struggle you're surrounded by on a daily basis. And you say to your wife or your significant other or your buddy, you actually don't say anything. You just look at them and go.
He's the host you shouldn't get too close to.
A lot of things about me you don't know anything about, Daddy. Things you wouldn't understand. Things you couldn't understand. Things you shouldn't understand.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America. Your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. My last day in New York. I'll be in Seattle tomorrow. Federal Way Performing Arts Center. Some tickets, a smidge of tickets. If you're a KTTH listener, we've never met. We should. Let's go. They're going to be filming chunks of my TV show out there tomorrow night at the Federal Way Performing Arts Center. So we'd love to have you come hang with the gang. If you want to get some tickets, foxacrossamerica.com. Tomorrow, Friday, 10 a.m. on the East Coast, 7 a.m. on the West Coast. If you're going mountain, we're talking 8 a.m. Tickets officially on sale for the July 13th gig in Colorado Springs, the Pikes Peak Event Center. Here we go. Yo, that's a big deal. I am so psyched. If you guys only knew how much fun me, Jenny, and Lincoln had cruising Colorado last time we were there, you know, once we avoided all the needles in downtown Denver, we had a great time in Colorado and can't wait to get back out there. That is July 13th, so Saturday night, Pikes Peak Event Center. Tickets on sale tomorrow. Hit the Fox Across America website. They'll be there. June the 22nd, we also just announced the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. That is Saturday night, June the 22nd. I'm bringing a lot of my dirtbag Fox buddies down because we're going to get really rowdy, spend the night in Red Bank, and hopefully get thrown out of every bar that's open. We are going for the kill. I don't get any downtime, like none, zero, like 2 a.m. downtime. If I want to smoke a cigar in the lobby of my hotel, you know, I might get 30 minutes here or there. I get nothing. So when you turn me loose like an Amish Rum Springer, forget about it. Like it's a, I mean, you have no, you know, it's just. Yeah.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
Now, I wouldn't take it that far. But the point is, we get a little rowdy. And you are all welcome to come be a part of it tomorrow night at Federal Way. And you are also welcome Saturday night at the Egyptian Theater in Boise, Idaho. But most importantly, seeing as this is my actual job that pays my bills, you are needed to stick around because Jenny Fela is coming up. She always needs the ratings. We're getting her ready for Fox News Saturday night this weekend. So a little preview, a little pregame show with Jenny Fela right around the corner after this. Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fela, a man who decided to book his wife on TV again this weekend.
What an idiot.
You stop it. She's going to make me look good. And joining us now to back up those words, the belle of the ball, Jenny Fela, back on the show. Hey, girl.
Hey.
I think you can do great Saturday night.
I hope so.
Just don't wear that. I kid, Jenny, come on. Would I ever take a cheap shot at you on the air?
Never.
It's going to be a really chippy episode. So you're going to get to meet Kevin Wallach.
I'm so excited.
I don't think people understand the depths of this in that you and Walling have been like, you know, the two ships passing in the night.
Yes.
This started on Kennedy's show, right?
Yeah.
Like years ago.
Yeah, I was telling my mom about this.
How me and Kennedy were telling, you know, it's always an aside when Kennedy's on that we're telling jokes about you being a hooker or an OnlyFans mom, something stupid, you know, and they're jokes at the moment. And no, but Walling was on the panel and was like, wow, Jenny's such a good sport. I got to meet Jenny. And over the course of time, he has heard about you in so many different forums. But you guys never met.
No.
Which, by the way, is also a fancy way of saying he didn't invite us to his wedding, as promised.
That's okay. Weddings are crazy.
We don't want to go. Nobody wants to go to your wedding, by the way. If anybody's listening around the country and you're like, should I invite him? They won't be mad. There's very few people that'll be mad.
I would be.
You'd be mad?
I like weddings, yeah.
Do you, though?
I do. They're fun. I don't get to, like, go out and, like, dance and just have a good time.
Destination weddings?
That's another, yeah.
I guess. His was, I believe, in South Carolina. That would have been doable. Yeah. Go eat some. But we're not allowed to eat biscuits right now.
That's true.
I got a TV show. I actually can't go to South Carolina. So, yeah, I would attend via Zoom. But it's great to see you. Did you figure out what you're wearing for real? Or are you still working it out?
I'm still working it out.
So Jenny
has a couple options.
Jenny has a couple of, everyone should know this, because the radio listeners have the highest security clearance. So they'll know, you know, what we settled on, and they'll know what the, you know, contenders were when they see this Saturday night when we do the dang show. There were a couple of, like, girl tops.
Yeah.
Solids.
Mm-hmm.
Greens. I believe one was a purple.
Like a blue.
A blue, bluish. You know, I'm terrible with colors, by the way.
You are the worst with colors.
I'm not the best. I only dated you because I was attracted to black women. It's like, wow, this one backfired. I kid. But it was a couple of blue, a green. I believe one of the Elvis t-shirts.
Yeah.
Still a possibility. Maybe an Elvis t-shirt denim jacket look.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I don't know what the finalists are, and I am not Elvis, so I don't actually intervene. Like, I offer an opinion. But do you like that Elvis would, like, make Priscilla go back up the stairs and change her makeup?
No, we talked about this. I don't like that.
Why? Did you watch the Priscilla movie?
I did.
And but I think the Priscilla movie is, like, because it's made in this era of the women have to be the victim. And it's not to say you can't be treated awfully by a celebrity.
Right.
Because plenty of celebrities have bad marital records.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not living in that level of denial. But if Elvis, it's the 1950s, and Elvis is like, honey, put the bonnet on. You know, go back upstairs, yeah, put the bonnet on. Do the, you know, the eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Is it the worst thing in the world?
No, wait, I guess it all depends on the delivery.
Yes.
Because I will come down and ask you, like, hey, be brutally honest. And I want you to be, I mean, you don't have to be mean about it, but you could be like, hey, well, I like that other shirt a little better.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to say you look fat in this, even if that is actually, if that's actually the truth, just say it nicer. Like, okay. I'm not saying, and you do, okay. You do a good
job.
But
the only reason I have some skepticism about the Priscilla thing, to be fair, mm-hmm. is because right now everything in this era is championing victimhood.
Yeah.
Like, it's a more, there's like a broader appeal for her in, like, art circles if she says something bad happened than
that's
if she
true.
Says something good. If you say something good happened, they're like, check your privilege.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you say something bad,
Right.
You know, yeah. Oh my gosh. Jenny Fail is in studio. We're previewing Fox News Saturday night because that's what we do. There's a lot going on in the news world. One of the risks we're taking, though, is in both appearing on TV at the same time Saturday night, we could come home to squatters living in our house.
It's up to Lincoln to defend the house.
It being New York City, this is actually a very daring move by us. Is it not so insane that we have these laws in our state for people living around the country that if someone breaks into your house, they now live there?
Yeah. It's absolutely, well, first of all, criminal. But how can you side with, I mean, and we thought it was bad years ago. We had a neighbor who had a house rental and she just had tenants that decided to just stop paying, but they had at least lived there prior to. And she had such a hard time. And I think people like to be like, oh, well, you're a landlord. You're making all this money, blah, 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 blah. That is not the case most situations. And now you have people either in your own home just coming in and saying, no, I live here now.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Of course.
You have rental people that, like, they're just like, there's just squatting there. And that, I mean, that's their income.
I was just going to say that to you. So many people who own rental properties use it as a source of income.
Yeah.
So like you think about something during COVID when they waived when they had like rental amnesty and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, on one end, you're trying to be compassionate. On the other end, the other guy still has to pay rent.
Who are you,
maybe five apartments.
Yes.
God, screw him. He has money. This whole idea of class warfare, it's so stupid and intellectually lazy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the whole squatters' rights thing, I mean, that's like a societal suicide.
Insane. I'm looking around our neighborhood, like at the houses that I know have been empty.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't been empty. Like maybe there are people there.
The point is, if you break into my house, I am shooting you. Do you want to know why? Because I'm going to need a place to live. So jail's an option.
Yeah.
I pretty much have to shoot you because I can't afford another place.
Well, I'm shooting you because I worked way too hard on like making this house like pretty and like stuff. You're not living here for free unless you're invited.
No question. So, I think that is bananas. Another thing that went on in the news this week that I touched on earlier on the show. This is fascinating. We won't do this Saturday night because the TV show is apolitical. And I think most people listening to this know that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coming across it for the first time, that's what this is. This show is like, we don't really go like hard issue because we just want to have fun. And I don't know that this is a hard issue, but it's funny. So Biden on Wednesday, I was sat on Waters World getting ready to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing a segment about how Biden had public events Wednesday morning and still had the marks around his face from the CPAP machine.
Oh, no.
Because I guess he has sleep apnea or something.
Yeah.
And apparently, Jesse's contention was he had them on his face at noon, which means he probably had woken up like an hour earlier because they don't stay on your face all day.
No.
But my question, and Jesse didn't bring this up, and I was watching that hit. I wasn't doing it. I was going on, they bring me on at the end for the ratings bounce.
Mm-hmm.
And you stop it. But my question is, do they also, and this is just reckless speculation, do they also use those type of masks if they're like hopping you up with like nitrous or something?
Oh, I mean, I would imagine you could.
Like maybe.
So the official statement was it was his sleep apnea mask. That's what the White House said. Yeah, I mean, it's speculation, but I mean, think about any time you get like, I've had surgeries where they put the stuff over your,
they do.
What do you mean?
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. When they knock you out, like when I have my 2 foot surgeries, they like put the mask over your face. Like it's like kind of like an oxygen mask, but you just breathe that in and then you know.
Wow.
So I would imagine they could put anything in that thing, not to just knock you out.
Wow. They could wake
maybe
you up.
Pep you up. Yeah. I mean, I think they do it to wake you up later too, I think.
We should have.
I was asleep for that part, so I don't know.
We should have an exhibit show called Pimp My President.
All the things we can do.
If we're going to keep running 100-year-olds for president, like we're going to need this. You pimp it up a little bit. So I don't know. I mean,
is he past just like a Red Bull or something like that? Like,
I would think so. He called the Easter Bunny the oyster bunny.
Saw that.
Joe, the oyster bunny.
Not an accent. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's just said.
The oyster bunny.
Clear as day, though. Oyster. Yeah.
It wasn't ambivalent. He's like, he looks pretty dry for a guy who's been out catching oysters all day. You'd think the fur would be a little damp.
Matted.
No matted fur on this guy, Jenny Fala. And one thing we will get into at great length is the solar eclipse on Monday.
Yeah.
Because that matters. It's a hot ticket where you are.
Yeah, where my family is. Yeah,
the path is like Texas to Maine.
Yes, but
along
does
that northeastern, yeah, wind
right through like the, my area of
yeah,
Ohio.
The number is 31 million people live in the direct path, which is like a high. There was one 7 years ago,
yes,
where it was 20 million people were in the path, so people traveled. But Ohio's actually probably the second biggest destination.
Yeah,
of tourism.
You know what? My uncle was telling me that even my little small town, there's like two hotels, you know, because it's all, you know, it's along Route 75. But they said that the hotel rooms are going for an insane price compared to what like they normally would be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
so you're telling me the Knights Inn is up to $31?
Well, normally, but I heard it was upwards. Now this is just what I've heard, but upwards of like $500, which I know if you're like going to a big city, $500 a night isn't anything. Mm-hmm. But in Wapakoneta, Ohio, it is, and I guess they're making them stay 3 days.
Okay.
You know, so you don't have just like such a crazy turnover.
Yeah.
But even Lincoln's math teacher is going to Texas.
Really?
So he's taking his family. He had promised. I get this is what Lincoln told me he had promised his family that the next eclipse that came, they would all take a trip.
Oh,
so they're
cool.
Going, like, he's not going to be in school, like, Friday, okay. Monday, Tuesday.
I did not know that. That could also just be an excuse by Lincoln to not go to school. He's like, oh,
yeah.
You know my teachers
yeah,
are at the
yeah.
eclipse,
well, listen,
right?
I think he's just trying to get away from Lincoln for a few days. Just like, I'll just use this, you know, eclipse, sure. I'll use that.
Well, we speak of Lincoln because Friday, while I'm flying out to Seattle for the Federal Way Performing Arts Center, Hey Girl, and Annie from the show is coming. You know little Annie on my show because Annie's family is from Seattle.
Yep.
How old, for the listeners, would you guess Annie is? If you didn't know how old she was.
If you didn't know, oh my gosh, like Lincoln's age. She's just an adorable, like,
if
she may
Lincoln
be 16.
Brought,
but
Annie's
like,
she's 22.
Yeah.
If Lincoln brought her home from school, it was like, this is my girlfriend Annie, I would assume she was a grade younger than
absolutely.
Him.
She's so cute and adorable.
Sweet
and if
girl.
We could only, like, you know, age that way, like, I wish I looked younger than what I was.
No,
That's amazing.
She's a good egg, but she's being tasked, and this is part of what I bring this up, she's being tasked with filming the package at the show tomorrow night.
Okay.
Which means, like, when we do the meet and greet and the Q&A in the green room stuff.
Are they going to card her, not let her in?
She can't get backstage. She's like, no, I'm Jimmy's
like,
producer.
Where are your parents?
I can't get in. So she's going to be tasked with the lunatics that you've met on tour.
Yeah.
I think she's going to do great.
Oh, everybody's so nice.
Yep.
They're going to be so nice.
And while that's going on, Lincoln will be streaking at opening day at Yankee Stadium. How about that? How excited is the Link Man?
Oh,
I haven't talked to him a lot about
he
it.
He is only talking about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's so excited.
Uncle Mikey is taking Lincoln to opening day like a good uncle does at Yankee Stadium tomorrow, Friday, April
yep.
the 5th. And he will see Juan Soto. First at bat in pinstripes,
yep.
Which is a big, I mean, he ordered a jersey, right?
Well, it's not here yet, and he has been on my case.
Okay, now let me ask you this, parent to parent. Is this a legit jersey, or is this one of his Lincoln went to a website?
No, I went to the website and got it. It's a legit, Fanatics. It's like a
okay.
legit
Oh,
website.
It's Fanatics legit. Okay, because he was ordering stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember when Lincoln was like five? What was the name of the website? It was like Billy Tokyo
yeah,
or something. That wasn't
like that, yes.
But it was that
it was
absurd.
Something yeah.
Yeah. Teddy Tokyo.
Yes.
Lincoln
yes.
had messages from someone named Teddy Tokyo.
Because he saw like Pokemon on
yeah.
something and clicked on it. And we're like, dude. Well, and then it was during the pandemic.
Yeah.
He had found something. He swore, maybe it was like 2 years ago. He swore it was a legit Judge signed jersey. Remember mm-hmm. this?
Yes. Oh,
and
Aaron
it was
Judge.
Like $50. And
yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's first of all, that's not really Aaron Judge that signed it.
Yep.
It's like Baron Judge.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a real jersey. And
yeah.
He's like, no, it is. The guy has it on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
All I have to do is give him a gift card and he'll send it to me. And I'm like, buddy. So he went up unbeknownst to me to CVS with his cash,
I remember this.
Bought a gift card. But the gift card was one of those scam gift cards that people go in and put fake barcodes. So he got scammed buying the gift card. But luckily,
this.
I saw it. So I didn't even know. He came back to try to give this thing to the guy, and it didn't work. And the guy's like, yo, this isn't working. So then finally Lincoln like cops to it and tells me.
Aww.
So I see what happened. So we go up to CVS. Luckily, they let us swap it out for another one. And, you know, they said it's a problem. People are scamming. But then once he got the legit gift card, he wanted to go back and try again. I'm like, dude,
you don't understand.
You're losing this money over and over.
You don't know Tokyo Teddy the way I do. He wouldn't rob me.
He's learned his I mean, he knows now, but
yeah.
It was like there was no talking to him then. He
no.
was convinced that this was legit.
Yep. And if he thinks that's a bad deal, wait till he sees the prices at Yankee Stadium tomorrow. It's so expensive. He's like, yeah, Soto. I'm like, yeah, but Soto's gonna make $500 million.
Yeah. Soto, but your soda is gonna be be $18.
Soda's another story. Juan Soda. Nobody's rooting for that guy at those prices. Jenny Failla, we will see you on TV.
Yeah, see you there.
Big win for the American people. Aww. There she goes, the great Jenny Failla. We are back after this.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Shout out to Jenny Failla.
The answer would be no.
Oh, come on. It's a tough crowd. We're fired up to have her on the show. Saturday night, listen to this. Pat's outrageous. Corinne Fisher, you've seen her on the show two or three times. Great comic. Kevin Walling, the aforementioned Kevin Walling, Democratic strategist, who worked on Joe Biden's campaign.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
No, ma'am. We love Walling. He's going to be great. Jenny Failla on the panel. Charles Payne, host of Making Money with Charles Payne. And NFL Hall of Famer Michael Strahan is going to join me live at the New York International Auto Show. It's a banger. Fox News Saturday night. If you haven't seen it, you know, I kind of sandwich board for it during the week. We talk to Michael every Monday. He gives a review of the show. Sometimes I have the guests on ahead of time like I did this week. We're genuinely trying with the hour a week we have been allocated from the television gods to change the vibe in this country. Because this country, do you remember in the movie Batman, the first Batman, the Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson Batman, where, you know, Jack Nicholson plays the Joker and he goes, this town needs an enema.
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, he was spot on. And we're trying to be that thing, that port in the storm where the country, as divided as it is, as politically militant as we are towards people who don't agree with us, we're trying to be that thing where everybody just goes back to what I grew up in. Like, I grew up in a fun time. This isn't fun. Like, you know, they don't vote the way I do. I'm not talking to them anymore. We're not doing Thanksgiving at their house after 23 years because they voted for Trump. Like, do you know how stupid? I mean, really, you really think about that.
Can you imagine being that stupid?
No, but a lot of people are. And I try every day, to my credit, because I have like sort of a conscience. And having accomplished everything in the world I ever dreamed of accomplishing when I was five, you really do have the luxury of being mindful about how you're impacting, you know, the vast amounts of people that you reach. Like, I'm one of those idiots who's trying to help the world. I know it's dumb. Every time I'm like talking to my agents or potential business partners and I give them this part of like my manifesto, they're like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, no, I got the show. That was my first thought. How can I help the world?
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
That's usually what they say. And then they walk out of the business meeting. But that's all right. Because if I get to look back on this someday, if I'm lucky enough to live a long time and look back on, hey, I had a TV show for a little while there. I had a radio show. I'll be able to say to myself, like, I did the thing with it that I wanted to do. With it, which is so much more badass than anything else you could accomplish. You know, most people don't get to call their own creative shot. You live in a country where you can if you're willing to do the work, but you know, some people are and don't have the talent. Some people have the talent, aren't willing to do the work. And then there's people in the middle like you who have, or me anyway. Well, me would be an example of somebody who has some of the talent and is willing to do whatever low-level extortion it takes to actually get the job. But anyway, as we wrap things up here in the bottom of the ninth, you should know we are down to like a handful of tickets in Federal Way Friday night. If you want to come out and see me and the Fox News Saturday night crew, because we're going to be filming for the show, we would love to hang. It's going to be a wild, raucous, made-for-TV Q&A, the meet-and-greet made-for-TV as well. If you bought VIP tickets or you're thinking about buying those VIP tickets to the Green Room, buy them. You're definitely going to wind up on TV because we're filming the whole thing. So don't use any bad language on the air would be my only request. And as the show rolls out, this one has been, as shows go, this was a phenomenal.
Wrong.
Oh, man, they are a rough crowd in the control room. But the show is over. Buy some comedy tickets. Treat everybody. You know how they say, like, treat others the way you want to be treated. I can't say that to this entire audience because I know Michael goes to a dominatrix. He can't just walk around spanking everybody he comes across. But the point is, the show is over. Pay up. Get out. Have a phenomenal Thursday night. Be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Libertarian, independent. Just don't be a...
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.